All right, today we are diving deep into a really foundational document, the Western Cape Cultural Commission and Cultural Councils Act from 1998.
Yep, and our mission today is to really get to grips with the legal machinery it's set up to manage culture in the region.
And right from the start, in the preamble, you get this very clear sense of its purpose.
You really do. Mm. It's not about forcing culture on anyone. The goal was to create a, you know, a supportive climate.
A climate for what, exactly?
For preserving it, promoting it, and ultimately for creating better understanding and mutual respect between all the different groups.
And what immediately grabbed me was how they define culture. It's huge.
It is. They call it the dynamic totality.
Which is such a great phrase. It's not just the obvious things like arts and literature.
No, not at all. It also pulls in modes of life, value systems, mm-hmm. traditions, heritage, even fundamental human rights.
So it's basically everything that makes a community a community.
Okay.
And because that definition is so broad, they knew they needed a pretty robust structure to manage it all. Which brings us to the two-tiered system the Act creates.
That's right. You've got the Western Cape Cultural Commission, the WCCC, at the top for strategy.
And then the cultural councils for the grassroots stuff.
Perfect way to put it.
So let's start at the top with the WCCC. It's set up as a juristic person. What does that mean in practical terms?
It means it has legal teeth. It can own property. It can sign contracts. It can sue and be sued. It's a proper legal entity.
And who's on it?
It's a commission of between 10 and 14 part-time members, and they're appointed by the provincial minister.
And I'm guessing they don't just pick names out of a hat?
Not at all. The selection has to reflect the entire Western Cape. So they look at cultural realities, language, geography, demographics, the whole picture.
Okay, so it's a representative body with real power. What are its main aims?
The primary aim is just what you'd think. Preserve, promote, and develop culture. But their powers get really interesting.
How so?
Well, they manage property and databases, sure. But their really strategic role is coordination.
Coordination with who?
With other provinces, but also, and this is key, with other countries. They're tasked with building international cultural exchange.
So the WCCC is the big strategic engine. It handles the policy, the money, the international relations.
Exactly. But an engine needs to know what's happening on the ground.
And that's where the cultural councils come in.
That's where they come in. These are voluntary associations. Very important point.
So anyone can form one?
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
It's based on freedom of association. A community that shares a common cultural or language heritage can form a council.
And what do they do?
They're the local guardians. They preserve their own culture. They can do research. And they advise the main commission.
And they have this one power that really stands out, the ability to report a cultural threat.
Yes. They can flag something they see as a threat directly to the commission, which then has to investigate. It's a pretty serious mandate for a local group.
It is. Which leads to the big question. Are these volunteers compensated for all this work?
And that's the crucial detail. The members themselves are not paid by the province. It's pure volunteer effort.
But they can get funding for things.
Oh, yes. They can apply to the commission for money for specific projects or research or to hold a conference, just not for salaries.
So you have this powerful funded commission at the top.
Right.
And it's relying on these passionate but unpaid community groups to be its eyes and ears on the ground.
It's a fascinating blend of top-down governance and grassroots activism, all baked into the law.
And it's all designed to encourage connections.
Absolutely. It's about getting local groups to interact, but also about connecting those same local groups with similar communities overseas.
It really leaves you with a big question, doesn't it? This framework was laid down in 1998. So considering this dual structure, this mix of central authority and voluntary effort, how has it actually shaped the cultural identity of the Western Cape over the last 2+ decades?
That's the $1 billion question. Something for you to think about.